Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. As you can hear from my voice, I'm not fully well. I was hoping somebody would replace me. Couldn't find anybody.
The Lord.
Yes. Except the Holy Spirit. So, may the Lord speak to us this morning.
Amen.
We are now in Hebrews chapter 3. And I like how it starts. It says here, Holy Brethren.
Holy Brethren.
Praise the Lord. We are the Holy Brethren. Not only of one another, but of the Lord. Right? Chapter 2 ends with Christ being the firstborn from among the dead.
Amen.
Our eldest brother who has already entered into glory.
Amen.
Wonderful, right?
Amen.
Good to have such an older brother.
Amen.
Eldest brother.
Amen.
Who has made it and leading us the same path.
Amen.
Partakers
Amen.
Of the heavenly calling.
Amen.
This is wonderful.
Mm.
Right? Today we have to be aware, we have to be conscious that we are not doing something earthly. We are building a heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
I don't know why many Christians have the concept that they are going to heaven. But actually, we read the whole Bible, especially the New Testament, it's so clear that the Lord is building something on earth today. Right? Even when he came, he says what? The kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
Right?
Even in his prayer in Matthew chapter 6, was that what? Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So the scripture shows us that God really wants to build something heavenly on earth.
Amen.
Wonderful. He's not going to give up the earth. He spent too much time, energy to build up the earth, not to abandon it, but definitely to rule over the earth, right?
Amen.
To bring in his heavenly kingdom. So the emphasis here in Hebrews is so much this heavenly Christ that he is. He not only became a man, died and rose again, but he also ascended. And he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Right.
He is a great high priest who has passed through the heavens.
Amen.
Even made higher than the heavens.
Amen.
So really, I'm very encouraged to see that our Christ today is in heaven building something heavenly on earth.
Right.
This is really wonderful, right?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. And even everything about the church is heavenly here.
Right?
It's the heavenly Jerusalem.
Right.
Talks about the heavenly gifts, right? The heavenly country.
Right.
Everything is heavenly.
Amen.
Although we're on earth. Wonderful, we have both. We have the earth and we have the heaven.
Amen.
Don't dream about going to heaven, right?
Right.
Anyways, then, actually what the writer here is wanted to show the believers here, the Jewish believers, actually they are the ones that could understand the most, because they are Hebrews, the Jews, right? So, with their background, they really should know what the writer here is talking about. He's telling them that you're now building something heavenly. Before, in the Old Covenant, before the coming of the Lord, what you are doing is earthly.
Right.
It's just an earthly building.
Exactly.
But what we're doing today in the New Covenant age is something heavenly.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And that everything that was in the past is actually a shadow, a type.
Right?
Right? Yeah. I think in verse 5 it says that Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. Very clear, right?
Amen.
That now is the time where the fulfillment will be seen. That heavenly thing will now be built.
Amen.
Then he mentions here Moses, who was faithful in all his house.
Right.
Definitely, if you read I think Acts chapter 8, it says there, Moses was very faithful to build according to the pattern that was shown to him. I think Philip, no, Stephen mentioned that, right? And indeed, if you see Leviticus or Exodus, if you read Exodus, you will see that everything that Moses did in building the tabernacle was according to the pattern that was shown to him when he was in Mount Zion. Mount Sinai. The color, the material, the dimensions. Although Moses graduated from the Egypt, University of Egypt, maybe the PhD. He was very smart, definitely. Surely he had a lot of ideas, but he was very faithful. He did everything according to the pattern that was shown to him.
Amen.
Right. And now it says here, but he was just a type of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is also faithful, even more faithful to all his house. Right? For this one, verse 3, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses.
Amen.
Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house.
Amen.
Right? For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Right. And then it says here that Moses was faithful as a servant, but Christ is as a son over his own house. Wow, if you're building your own house, don't you think you'll be more faithful than the contractor?
Right.
You're actually building, you definitely will be more faithful.
Right.
And our Lord Jesus is faithful. More faithful than Moses, right?
Amen.
And I really like verse 6 where it says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are.
Amen.
If we stand on the ground of oneness. Is that what it says?
No.
whose house we are. But there is a condition. To be the house of God is not that simple. To be the body of Christ, yeah, it's more simple. You're just born again, and you're a member of the body of Christ. It's that simple. No choice, right? You didn't have to sign up to be in the body of Christ. But you were born, we were all born to be members of the body of Christ. But to be his house, he says, whose house we are, there's an if. That means there's a condition to being built today as the house of God, as the heavenly tabernacle, right?
Amen.
Heavenly dwelling place of God. Yeah, by the way, the house of God is really us today, right? It's not a physical building. Unfortunately, many Christians today still refer to a physical building, a chapel, cathedral, as the house of God. No, it says here, we are the house of God.
Amen.
Right? And that confirms what Peter chapter 2 tells us, that we are what?
Living
stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. You know, it's harder to build a house with living stones. That's why it takes the Lord so long. Have you heard of somebody building a house that has taken 2,000 years already? The problem is living stones. Living stones have their own mind, their own ideas. They can run away, rebel. That's what we are, right? But praise the Lord, he is building, right? If we, it says here, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I really like that, especially after the message last night and this morning, to see that we have such a wonderful Christ in whom we can really have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is qualified.
Right.
But we need to hold fast because there are so many things that will distract us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a very gifted speaker can distract us.
Amen.
A charismatic person can distract us.
Right.
A lot of activities can distract us, right?
Amen.
Oh Lord, so we need to hold fast our confidence.
Amen.
We need to keep looking unto Jesus,
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. He is the only one who can lead us to glory.
Amen.
That's why Paul spent two chapters just to describe to us what a wonderful Christ he is.
Amen.
Right? All these we have to really appreciate and not allow ourselves to be distracted.
Amen.
And then he says, the hope of our rejoicing firm to the end.
Amen.
We do have a wonderful hope. Our hope to really share in the reward of the kingdom when the Lord comes.
Exactly.
To rule over the nations. Today we can just read about them, the newspaper, terrible things. But one day we're going to rule over them, right?
Mm.
In the 1,000 years kingdom. And even further than that, we have the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Right? So wonderful. We have to hold fast. Not so easy. Because the Hebrews believers, they were at that time a minority. Right? They were persecuted. Their possessions were taken away. Right? So they had a lot of problems. And today the same. We need to hold fast our confidence and go firm to the end. Right?
Amen.
Now let me just jump through to excuse me, chapter 4. There the writer continued to compare our Lord Jesus to Joshua.
Amen.
Right? Joshua is the Hebrew word actually for Jesus.
Yeah.
The same word. And he was the one who led the children of Israel from the wilderness into the good land.
Right?
It says here,
verse
18. Yeah, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day.
Right.
Actually, when the Bible talks about the Sabbath rest, it actually refers to God being satisfied and happy.
Amen.
Only if he is satisfied and happy will there be rest for himself and for his people.
Right.
Just like when he restored the earth, right? He said it was good, but only after he created mankind in verse 6, when he said it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rested on the seventh day.
Right.
Why? Because man was created for God's purpose.
Right.
His purpose in restoring the earth was to bring forth men at the end.
Right.
So that men can now rule for him.
Amen.
And even defeat his enemy, Satan, who has usurped the earth.
Right.
That's why God rested. Because that was the his purpose in the recreation, right? But unfortunately, man fell. And God had to work again to save men, right? Bringing them out of Egypt through the wilderness. But the rest is actually when the children of Israel entered into the good land. That was God's goal. Not just to bring his people out of Egypt, but into the good land.
Amen.
Where his house can be built.
Right.
And his earthly kingdom can be set up.
Amen.
Right? That was the rest in the old covenant, time of the old covenant. But unfortunately, many didn't make it, right? Yeah, so it says here, we go back to chapter 3, right? In verse 16, for example. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness?
Right.
And to whom did he not swear that he would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey?
Right.
So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I think to be more clear, we should also read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says here, this is written for our learning.
Right.
it's written for us. Right. Again, so don't think the scriptures is just obsolete already.
Right.
Definitely not. So we can see here Paul uses the Old Testament to teach us something. Let's read from verse chapter 1 to 12. 1 to 12.
Chapter 10.
Chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 12. Moreover, brethren,
I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not at peace, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and we do not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, about whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls.
Right. All this is actually talking about us. We all have been baptized into Christ. To be baptized into Moses here refers to Christ, right?
Right.
And to be baptized in the clouds is in the spirit.
Right.
And into the water means we have all been baptized.
Right.
Right? So it refers to us. But many of them, as a matter of fact, almost all of them didn't make it. Right? Only two out of the whole generation made it into the good land. Because of all these things that was written there, right? And today, we have to see the same thing. God wants to bring us into the rest, right? And the rest today is really to enjoy Christ as the good lad, just as it was at that time. Christ in the New Testament today is the good lad.
Amen.
For us to labor and to enjoy.
Amen.
And the Lord has shown us even more, not just for our enjoyment, but also to prepare the offerings,
right,
to bring to the Father, so that the Father will have food to eat.
Amen.
And the Father will have the worship that he's seeking after.
Right.
Then he is satisfied. If the Father is satisfied, don't you think you will be satisfied?
No, definitely.
Definitely. Then we will have rest.
Amen.
If we just sing a lot of songs and listen to a lot of messages, I don't think we'll have rest. Right? But if we learn to prepare the offerings. That's why this word is really important, because we are really experiencing the reality of the good land, right?
Amen.
I'm sure many of us can testify that when the Father is satisfied, then we do have rest, right?
Amen.
But there's a further rest, right? Which is
right.
When the Lord comes back and we have a part in the 1,000 years kingdom. Right, that is even a more wonderful rest. There are three stages of rest. Right? Now in the church life, praise the Lord, but only we experience Christ as our good lad. Not just saved from eternal damnation. Not just come out of Egypt and stay in the wilderness, wandering around there, complaining, murmuring, right, tempting the Lord, rebelling, but enter the good land. Right?
Amen.
So today we really experience or learn to enjoy Christ while when he comes back we will have a part in the 1,000 years kingdom. We will reign with him for 1,000 years. Right? This is wonderful. This is a reward.
Amen.
And then even further than that, we have the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Right? We're done with the nations. And there we will all enjoy the Lord, be his servants there, beholding him the whole day. Wonderful. So this is what actually Hebrews has been telling us here. But again, as we heard, there are warnings. Right?
Amen.
Yeah, it's good to know what the warnings are. Otherwise, we will not make it. So, first warning here, it says here, therefore, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Amen.
As in the rebellion. Right?
Amen.
So, yeah, the Lord did promise when he gave a new covenant that he will give us what? A new heart and a new spirit. He'll take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Praise the Lord. We should pray every day. Lord, give me a heart of flesh.
Amen.
A soft heart.
Amen.
Right? Many things can harden our hearts. You know Matthew 13, right? Tells us so many things. They may not be the bad things necessarily. Of course, we have a lot of traffic with the world. The whole day from morning to evening, you're just occupied with the things of the world. That can make your heart hard. Right? But also, many things like the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and what? The anxiety of this life. You worry too much. All these things can harden our hearts, right? So we need to take care of our heart, just like what Proverbs chapter 4 says, right? Keep your heart above all what?
Keeping.
That is to be, let's read that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, I think, yeah? Chapter 4, verse 23, yeah. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life.
Yeah.
I think one other thing that can keep our heart from, that can make our heart harden is the sin of presumptuousness. The thing that we've made it, the thing that we're okay, not willing to go on. Right, causes our heart to be hardened and not hear his voice anymore. Right, yeah. So, another thing that really touched me is that having a wicked heart of unbelief, what does it say? 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I thought this verse is very serious. To have an evil heart, not only should we not have a hardened heart, even less should we have an evil heart of unbelief. I mean, we do not believe that the Lord is bringing us on, that the Lord is going on, right? We do not believe that the Lord will bring us to the goal. And also, in departing from the living God. How can we believers be departing from the living God? We are children of God. Well, if the living God is going on and we are stuck somewhere, in a sense, we've departed from the living God. I remember Angela, when she first came to the church, the first thing she told me, where I go, God is not there. God is not there. I cannot find God. Well, because he's departed. God is departed. He's no longer there. Right? Because they're not going on. They're stuck there for 2,000 years already. And God has moved on far, far ahead already. Right? So this is a really warning, a real warning for us today, that we should not have an unbelieving heart.
Amen.
Right? And get stuck and not be willing to move on with the Lord. So this is an evil heart of unbelief. And God was angry. So angry that he swore that they will not enter into his rest. So this is really very serious here, right? And then the exhortation here is that, but exhort, verse 13, one another daily, what it is called today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to encourage one another, exhort one another, while it is called today.
Amen.
Right? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then verse 14, if we have become partakers of Christ, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Amen. We should be partakers of Christ. Again, this word on the offering is helping us to be partakers of Christ.
Amen.
Right? That's the only way we can make it, to partake of all the riches that we have in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And also, he goes on in verse 11 saying, let us therefore be diligent. So to enter into his rest doesn't mean that you just do nothing. That's our concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
To rest is put your feet up and do nothing. But unfortunately, in the Christian life, in the church life, it's not like that. We still have to be diligent.
Amen.
To enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And then it goes on to say, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is how we should treat the word of God.
Amen.
Not as doctrines, just teaching. But it should be living. It should be powerful. It should change our lives, right?
Amen.
And it should divide. It should tell us what is soulish, what is of ourself, and what is of the spirit. And expose what is the thoughts and intents of our heart.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't know our own heart. Right? The Bible says what? Our heart is deceitful above all things. You might think you have such a good heart. You're so generous. But, hey, if the Word of God shines into our hearts, we will see that many things need to go. Right? Many things are still not of the Lord. Wicked. Yeah, amen.
Amen.
One more thing I'd like to say is verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You know, reading Hebrews chapter 11, we have an understanding of what faith is. And with that understanding, then we see that we see what it means to mix the Word of God with faith. That means the Word of God must become our reality. It should not just be a doctrine or a teaching. Right? If you read Hebrews 11, you can see that faith is not just mental assent or you agree with something, but it is something that substantiates, make God real to us. Make His Word real to us.
Amen.
Right? Make everything that is of Christ real to us.
Amen.
And so to mix the Word of God with faith means our desire should not be just to listen to a good message, but to really experience what we hear. Right? It has to become our reality. It has to change our lives. Right? Then we are really mixing the Word of God with faith. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
But anyway, we can see here that in the book of Hebrews, the writer is really showing us that the Old Covenant is a pattern which God has shown Moses, and that the reality is today.
Amen.
We have to build according to the pattern.
Amen.
Right? Except that it's no longer the animals, but it is Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I hope we will all be diligent to enter into that rest.
Amen.
And we will heed the warning that was given to us.
Amen.
Remember, majority of them did not make it.
Right.
It's always a remnant. Today, you may think, what? Only we? Well, that's what the Old Testament showed us. It was just a remnant. Right? Even returning from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple was also just a remnant. So may we be faithful, right? As Moses was faithful, we need also to be faithful in building God's house.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Feel free to fellowship, to share we still have 15 minutes of sharing. So.
Praise the Lord. You know, what was brought out regarding the Lord as more faithful than Moses. You know, Moses was very faithful in leading the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to get them to the good land. And when the Lord appeared to Moses, spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, he was very exact in his instructions in the building of the tabernacle, and was also very specific in how the priesthood should be and how the offerings needed to be brought to God our Father. And Moses followed everything in detail. He was faithful to do that. And as we were getting into this matter to see Christ as Moses, the question became, are we also faithful as Moses today? I have to say, many times when we touch the matter of the church, when we're practicing the church life, are we so faithful? And today, God is moving on. The Father is seeking the true worshipers. The Father is desiring His food. He's desiring the spiritual sacrifices. And the question is, are we also faithful to follow the pattern?
Amen.
The pattern of the spiritual sacrifices and the pattern of building up the true tabernacle. Right, may the Lord really begin to open our eyes to see, what are we doing in the church life? Is the church life just to follow the crowd? Follow something that's comfortable to us? Is the church life just, you know, a social gathering because we have friends in the church? We have more young people here. I have more my age people here. What is the church life about? Are we willing to be faithful to follow the Lord all the way to the last detail?
Amen.
And it was only two that made it into the good land. Joshua and Caleb. They had a strong spirit. Right? And then it's also good to see regarding the matter of Joshua. Joshua was the one who brought them into the good land. And they were not afraid of the giants. Who is the one leading us through the good land? But Christ Himself. Are we willing to follow Him all the way to the end? To possess the land? To experience and to enjoy all the inheritance that God has given to us.
Amen.
So may the Lord really open our eyes. I want to experience Christ as the faithful one.
Amen.
As the burnt offering who would be faithful to obey the Father to the end in every detail in how God wants to build His church.
Amen.
To build the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
And especially today, as the Father desires His food, the Father desires to be satisfied to bring the spiritual sacrifices for the Father.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I very much enjoyed Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it.
Amen.
For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
Right.
Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And really in these last months I've seen the key is our faith. If we don't use that key, we cannot enter any of the reality of Christ.
Right.
But he is truly the Sabbath rest.
Yeah.
And by faith, we can grasp all these things. And if we desire to enter this rest, we need such a faith. Yeah.
Amen.
And he will bring us into this rest.
Amen.
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 In the children's meeting this morning, we read through Hebrews 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, now with him with whom he was angry 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not obey, or would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey?
Right.
And we really saw that, you know, the Lord desires our obedience.
Right.
And so often in my heart when I'm unrestful, when I don't have peace with the Lord, it's because of my disobedience. I'm not fully submitting to him, not fully giving him but the portion of faith that's required to enter into his rest.
Amen.
So it really is this matter of us obeying the Father and following him and seeking him. Then we can enter that rest in him because we're following behind him into this good land. He's doing the work. He just desires us to be obedient.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then this morning we also read in verse Hebrews 12, or 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and the center of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Lord brought to my remembrance in 1 Corinthians 2. We had morning watch over 6 through 16, but it was really good to see that it really is by the Spirit. You've heard that the burden for the conference really is that we all get to know the anointing to teach us individually as well as corporately how to go on, to really know what the Lord wants.
Yeah.
And it was good to see in verse 12 it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, who may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then
Amen.
In verse 14 it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And this really reminded me so many times I've come
Amen.
To the Lord in my own natural man, and I don't receive any life. But it really is the Word of God is living in us
Amen.
If we come to him in the Spirit of God. We have to put these other things aside, and then he'll cut with the Word and show us what is of the soul and of the Spirit.
Amen.
So I praise the Lord that he has given us this supply, this Spirit of God.
Amen.
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 I like this verse here in Hebrews 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And as the brothers have shared, there are a lot of warnings in this book. And, these words here in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let us fear lest
Amen.
Any of you seem to have come short of it. I think that would be such a scary thing for us, you know, if we so just come short of that, you know, and we should really be fearful of that, that we are, you know, like it says here in verse 11, let us be diligent
Amen.
To enter
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
If we are The only reason why we come short is if we are not diligent. We just become lazy and distracted.
Right.
You know. If we just keep this godly fear,
they can't hear us.
Okay.
Use the mic. That's what our mic is for, right? Yeah. Just turn it on and just hold it. Just hold it. Just turn it on and hold the mic. Yeah.
Should I start over?
Right. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Just continue. Just continue.
Okay, you can read the rest.
Right.
Can you hear me now?
No.
It has to. They have to turn it on. Yeah. They have to turn it on.
Hello. It's me. What? Hello.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
So what I was saying is that we need to have this godly fear in us, that we are always conscious of this fact that we do not want to come short. Because when we do find out one day that we are just short of it, it would be so shameful. It would be a very sad thing. Right? So that's why today these warnings are here in the Word, and we have to wake up and listen and not come short. Right? We have to be diligent to enter that rest. We have to make it to the end. Especially in these last days, the Lord is really trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
We know the Lord is coming back soon. He's trying to wake us up.
Amen.
And say, be diligent.
Right.
Press on and don't miss it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right. I think this is another...
Take the...
Hold the mic for a moment.
Just hold the mic, yeah.
This is not a coincidence that the Lord mentioned twice, or the writer, the Hebrews, mentioned twice in chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And then also verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Amen.
In this connection, then the Lord mentioned, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion.
Amen.
Very often, we are lost. We don't see the purpose of God, and we don't know how to run the race, and we just lost because we are in the darkness. And the Word of God is the light.
Amen.
If we don't hear His voice, we cannot run the race.
Amen.
Exactly.
This is my prayer, that Lord really give me a sensitive hearing.
Amen.
And for His Word.
Amen.
Not just just I'm thinking I hear His voice.
Yeah.
No, we have a spirit in us that should be echoed to the Word of God.
Amen.
The more we exercise the sense of His hearing, then we really can walk in the light.
Amen.
And hold the beginning of our confidence to the end.
Amen.
Oh Lord, thank you.
Amen.
It's very important for us to be faithful.
Amen.
Faithful does not mean that you're just faithful to what you have learned before. Mm-hmm. You may be faithful before, but you may not be faithful now.
Correct.
And the emphasis there in chapter 3 and 4 is today.
Faithful.
You may be faithful yesterday. I have seen people who were very faithful several years ago. Then they changed. They quit. It's been like that for the last 50 years. In the beginning, many were faithful. Wow, hallelujah. faithful to the word and to the Lord, speaking in those days. But you have to realize that we do not have the capacity in us to know everything at once. No. The word of God is showing us step by step. Step by step. You cannot know all the way to the end. Yes, you can see a heavenly vision, but to really reach the goal, you need to be faithful to take every step that the Lord has shown you.
Amen.
The word of God is living. So, if you're faithful last year, it doesn't mean that you're going to be faithful today, because the Lord's speaking is going on and progressing, showing us even more of what He wants us to do. You know, 500 years ago, at a time of Reformation, with the Reformers, Martin Luther is one of them, they were faithful to follow the Lord at that time. But then they stopped. But the Lord has gone on.
Amen.
Right? Coming out of Egypt, well, they're all very faithful. They all came up. Really, well, they were faithful. Not only Moses was faithful, but the people were faithful. Faithful to do everything the Lord told them to do, what Moses said, all the instructions. They came out of Egypt, passing through the Red Sea. Well, none of them remained on the other side, right? They were faithful to follow. They didn't say, oh, I'm afraid I might be drowned. What happened? The water comes, you know, and I'm right in the midst of the Red Sea, right? No one was wavering. They all went through. But then when it came to the wilderness, that was already difficult. While Moses was up in the mountain receiving the instructions, further instructions from the Lord, they couldn't wait anymore. They couldn't even wait for 40 days, okay? They started to worship idols. Change. They couldn't wait. So, to be faithful is today, not yesterday. And don't say, tomorrow I will be. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow, do you? No. But every day, day by day, we need to hear His voice and be faithful to take a step with Him forward. Otherwise, you change. You drift away. You know, drifting away. Why was the word drift used? Because you're going slowly, you drift. You know, the enemy is very subtle. He doesn't, you drop dead overnight, right?
He doesn't blow you away.
He doesn't blow you away. You know. But you drift away slowly. Right, and you feel very comfortable drifting, you know, you fall asleep. Right? And then, all of a sudden, when you wake up, you're somewhere else. Then it will be very difficult to turn back. And the longer you wait, the further you will be drifted away from the very goal of the Lord. So, to be faithful, for us, in our experience today, it is to be faithful every day, and particularly today.
Amen.
And let the Lord speak to you every day, just like you're going to school. You may be very faithful in kindergarten, but first grade, you're distracted by soccer and football and basketball. You're not that faithful anymore. Or maybe you're still faithful, but then in the fourth grade, in the fifth grade, oh boy, many other things, and you have to go on. You have to really go on, and spiritually, our testimony is that in the last 40 years, the Lord has gradually, step by step, taken us onward, and passing through a lot of tests, a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties, a lot of, spiritual warfare. So, the enemy there will always try to distract us. Plus, our flesh
and our self and our heart and heart. There's so many things in our opinionated mind and so many things. If we are not faithful, you will not reach the goal. And like our brother just testified, you will come short. That means you didn't go on. And I have seen too many people like that. Too many that I personally knew in the last 50 years. Not only in one country, but in many countries. They don't go on with the Lord. You may say, well, yeah, I knew him. Okay, maybe 40 years ago. You experience the Lord, yeah, maybe in Egypt. You experience crossing the Red Sea, that's fine. But then you did not experience entering in. You know. And then when you enter in, there's so much to do. Don't think, well, I'm entering in, I have entered into the rest, I don't need to do anything anymore. Enter into the rest does not mean that you don't do anything anymore, like what Brother George shares. Yes, well, lift up your leg there and relax, and you don't have to do anything anymore. But you still have to be diligent. You know, diligence is not in anything opposed or contrary to the rest. Right. You have to be very diligent in the rest. And while you are being so diligent, you must be resting. Because you can only do that in the Spirit with the Lord. Do not say, oh, but you said, forget about what we say. You listen to what the Spirit says.
Amen.
Right. And it is
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
And today means every day. Today means now. And now is every day. Tomorrow is another today. Don't say yesterday, forget about yesterday. Don't say tomorrow, lazy people will always say mañana, mañana. All right, tomorrow, tomorrow. But you do it now.
Amen.
And to have the living faith equals also obedience. That's why unbelief and disobedience are almost synonyms here. And if you believe, then you have to obey and enter in and substantiate what you have heard, the Word of God. Right. Be diligent, hold fast, it says here, more earnest heed, we must take and give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Learn to be diligent.
Amen.
And learn to be faithful to the end.
Amen.
Remember, to be faithful is not just holding to what we knew in the past. To be faithful is also obeying to what we have heard today from the Lord and every day until we reach the goal. Because
Amen.
It's impossible for you to know everything now. We don't have that capacity. Even the Lord told his disciples, there are many things I have to tell you, I want to tell you, but you cannot digest them today. That means you cannot take it today. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then he would not only remind you the things that I have told you, but he will also show you more things that he will receive from me. So don't just say, oh, well, we're holding fast to what we have seen. I have seen quite a few people today still holding fast to what they have seen 50 years ago, 70 years ago. Yeah, they're very faithful to that, but they're not very faithful to what the Lord is doing now, today. So eventually, that kind of faithfulness will kill you. Oh, you can be very faithful to what you have learned in kindergarten, but you're not in kindergarten today. Right? Can you still imagine? Can you imagine your Uncle George is still so faithful to the toys in kindergarten, A, B, C, D, and singing every day, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Oh, very faithful. But hey, it's that was kindergarten faithfulness. No, you need to be faithful today.
Amen.
Don't forget that word, today. What is the Lord doing today? What is the Lord saying today? Right. And what is His work today to bring us on to the goal? I knew what happened 40, 50 years ago. And even until this very day. But I want to know, what about now, Lord?
Right.
What is your work today to take us on to the goal? Remember what Paul says, not that I have already attained. Right. Yeah. The very fact the Lord didn't come yet, and the very fact that we have not really finish the goal and run the race yet, shows that there are still many things lacking. Because I have heard people say, well, we're doing well, so why do we need anything more, anything new? Yeah, well, it's up to you. But you need to see, hey, we have not reached goal yet. And here, you have not entered into the race. Are you sure you'll be in the millennial kingdom?
Yes.
You're going to be sure you will be raptured? Are you so sure? I tell you, it is not so sure yet because it hasn't come yet. You can only be sure when you are actually there. So, today we need to have a godly fear, like Moses said. A godly fear that we will not fall short of it.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to have an open heart, an open ear. Amen. Lord, whatever is still lacking in my life, show me.
Amen.
Speak to me.
Amen.
And let the Holy Spirit continue to lead me every day.
Amen.
Today. Then we can be sure to enter into the wedding feast.
Amen.
Remember, all the 10 virgins, did they all enter in?
No.
No. Right. So, well, are we all going to enter in? You can say, hopefully. I'm going to hold on to that hope firm to the end.
Amen.
By listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit every day.
Amen.
Right. So may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Let us all be diligent to make it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.